Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, overflow. Hey, there's an expectation in the room, and I need to give a disclaimer. A lot of you guys, I feel like, I don't know if this is true or not, but I feel like you guys that follow me on social media, I feel like I give off Grinch vibes. Some of my tweets and posts, I think you guys feel like they're like subtweets. I'm coming at you. I'm not coming at you. I'm here to prove today, you guys. I got a Christmas sweater on, okay? I didn't choose the sweater. The sweater chose me, you know what I'm saying? So I'm here today, and I dressed up for y'all today. I threw a tie on this bad boy. And so just drink it in. You won't see any more Christmas stuff out of me because I do have Grinch vibes. I am Grinch-like. And so, hey, if you're visiting Hope for the first time, I want you to know we're glad you're here today. I believe this with all my heart. There is great expectation in the room. To be completely honest, and there's a lot of heat in the room. I don't know if they turned the AC off for December. That's renter vibes. If the offering's big enough today, we'll buy a building and we'll make sure that AC works. You know what I'm saying? And so we'll just see. We'll have to see what happens today. I believe there's a huge expectation in the room, and in the midst of this gathering today, we have another gathering in the house where we're giving and we're serving to our Dream Team members. And to be completely honest with you, there's a barista back there, and I was drinking the coffee, and the beans are stronger. So I'm trying to, chill out a little bit. Just stay in the lane, you know what I'm saying? I just got to stay in my lane, you know? And so, but I was walking around. I go, dude, I got to get in the room. The proximity matters. I was out there, but I'm like, dude, something's happening there. I gotta make sure I get in there. So I grab my Bible out of my office. I'm like, I gotta get to the trips. Like, are you going? I'm like, I gotta get to the front row because something's happening. And so I'm just expecting. I want my expectation to match your expectation. I feel like the expectation in the room is high. We're gonna take our single greatest offering of the year is gonna happen in just 15 or 20 minutes, and I just believe that overflow is gonna happen. I wrote down in my notes this way. I believe the scripture's full of stories of overflow, but I believe that God's about to write some more stories in this room in here today. And I believe whatever we see overflow, we see a seed. And so I believe that today we're going to sow a seed today that's going to grow, and it's going to bring incredible, incredible overflow in the house. And I'm expectant of what God is going to do in the house. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. Let's get right into it today. There's a story familiar to you. Jesus feeds the 5,000. And not to be mistaken, a lot of people hang on to feeding the 5,000, but also in the scripture, they record there's a feeding of the 4,000. And if you study even furthermore, some theologians say, we get this, we get this story, we get to read it, but there was other times where Jesus gathered tens of thousands of people and he fed those people as well. Now, what I've noticed about my God and what I know hopefully about your God is that whatever he does once, I know this, he can do twice, but I know a lot of things that he does once, he never does twice because he's so creative, he can do immeasurably more every single time. Like, you ever be with someone and they one-up themselves? Jesus constantly, you ever been around a one-up king? Jesus is the reigning king of one-up king. One-up champ Jesus, we call him one-up champ Jesus. So whatever you've done, watch this. Elijah had an incredible ministry. We read about him a little bit, but then after Elijah comes a guy named Elisha, and Elisha has an incredible ministry. And Moses has an incredible run, but Abraham has an incredible run. And we see Jesus, we see John the Baptist, and John, people are like, yo, John the Baptist, that guy, he's fire. But John's like, yo, you wait till you see Jesus. He's like supreme being. And so all throughout scripture, we see stories of one up. Jesus is about to do that in this passage of scripture. Matthew, God put the word Luke in my heart just to tell you this. I'm reading through Luke with a handful of you guys over the next 20 days. It starts tomorrow. Go to my social page, click on the last post, and there's a link there for the Bible YouVersion app. And we're going to read through the book of Luke over the next 20 days. It's going to start on Monday. And we're going to get to Christmas. We're going to get to Christmas Eve together today in this building. It's going to be incredible. And we're going to have read through all of Luke. And I believe that God's going to speak to you, but I want to give you a head start on that, okay? So go to that page and read through that with us. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. I got to preach today, but have you ever seen those boat fails where the people are trying to get their boat backed in? Or they're trying to get their boat up to a dock. I saw one the other day. The guy was right on the neck of the trailer, and he's like, "Come on, come on!" And the guy gets it up there. He's doing great. He hands the guy the chain to lock the boat on. And after he hangs it, he gets back. He's like, "Okay, we're good." And the next thing you know, he just goes falling off. He just straight falling off. But a lot of times in Scripture, we see Jesus. They go to get in the boat. Now, what happens? What precedes this is John the Baptist dies. And whenever Jesus goes through an extraneous experience or he puts work in, he takes a break right afterwards. If Jesus had to have rest, come on, church, you got to have rest. You need to build rhythm. You need to have a rhythm of rest. Jesus has a rhythm of rest. He hears this news. This funeral happens, and he's completely sad, as you would be. And the Bible says that he gets in a boat to go to a remote area to be alone, but the crowds heard where he was headed, and they followed on foot from many towns. Like, he's in a boat, he's going to the other side, and we want to go. It's logic. They're like, we want to be wherever he's at. Wherever Jesus is showing up, we should want to run there too. I believe that there's some of you guys are in the room because you met somebody who, like, they were chasing Jesus, and they met him in this room, so you're like, well, I'm going to go to the room too. Just like I was going, I got to get in that room. So many of you guys are here because somebody else brought you to the room. They're like, man, something's happening. We got to go check it out. Now, some of y'all, you came on a social media ad. Some of y'all, you came because you drove by. I was at the gas station today getting ice, and the lady goes, are you at the church right around the corner from the high school? I said, yes, ma'am. You need to come visit us. Last week, I was here, and there was a lady. She was sitting on the parking lot. She was waiting for a YMCA employee to get here as we were about to get set up. She lost her phone in the building. I said, ma'am, I don't work here, but I can help you find your phone if you promise to come to church tomorrow. Because why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? I didn't do that, Ethan. I'm recovered. I used to be a bait and switch Christian. I'm not a bait and switch Christian anymore. What you see is what you get. I'm not going to fake it. I'm going to be authentic. I said, ma'am, I don't work here, but I can help you find it. I'll look for it. I know a couple of drawers where they may have some phones at. So I gave her a phone. I don't know if it was her phone or not. She took it. She had a big smile on her face, and she was like, gone. Anyways, the Bible says that they're like, we want to go with you. Jesus, come on. The Holy Spirit just showed up in the room. Jesus, I'm telling you, there's an expectation in the room. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them. And he healed their sick. And I believe that today, this offering that we're going to take today is going to be a reflection of whether or not we have compassion on the sick. Verse 15 says is that even that evening, the disciples came to him and he said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in giving Jesus the common sense answers. But these guys are like, hey, Jesus, it's getting late. Which goes to show some of you ladies in the room in here today, or maybe guys, you don't think time is like concrete, which, by the way, time is concrete. Come on. Come on, y'all. Some of y'all are like, oh, no, I'm on spiritual time. No, like, the world revolves around a clock. You should be on time. I tell my kids, early is on time, and on time is, yeah, come on, this is my church. I feel this. You guys get this. You can't be late all the time. I did see this statistic today, the other day, that said, scientific proof that people that are late all the time live longer. The problem is the rest of us doing all your work while you're late. You know what I'm saying? The rest of us are putting in that work for you. You're not getting anything. My buddy of mine called me yesterday. He's like, Pastor West, I'm just doing a crappy job with my job. And I said, you don't want to know what it is? You're not getting that. You're not getting your stuff done early. He's like, dang, you throwing darts at me this early? I'm like, bro, I love you, but as long as I've known you, I know this kid for 15 years, as long as I've known you, you've been a procrastinator. He's like, well, I think Jesus, Jesus was always on time. The Bible says that they're like, yo, we're going with them. We're going to follow them. They're telling Jesus, they're giving Jesus all the logistics. It's already getting late. This is their plan. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and they can buy food for themselves. I love this. But Jesus says, that won't be necessary. You feed them. We were at a restaurant yesterday. I'm not going to say who did it, but we ordered wings. And someone at the table, I'm not going to say who did it. It wasn't me, and it wasn't the kids. But someone says, would it be possible if we got all flats? Would it be possible if we got all flats? Now, I'm trying to figure out, I've had a lot of wings in my life. Specifically fried chicken, but I've had a lot of wings in my life. And I'm trying to figure out if there's a stereotypical way I can spin this. Do white people like flats or do black people like flats? I just want to know. I'm not picky. I'm going to clean the bone off no matter what. They're like, hey, we don't have enough food. When I get done, I'm going to go get another espresso after this. I promise you. Like, it tasted so good. But Jesus goes, that won't be necessary. We asked the lady for wings, and she goes, can you give us all flat? She goes, I don't make that decision. I'll go in the back, and I'll ask them. And I'm like, you shall do that. Sounds good. Go, let us know what they say. I don't care. I'm gonna eat it no matter what. But she comes back. She goes, we're busy. We can't do that. Now, Jesus goes to the guys, like, that won't be necessary. Wherever there's a need, get this. This is today. Wherever there's a need, there's an opportunity for overflow to happen. That's why we start this whole series off with Get Empty. There's a guy in our church, I've seen overflow happen over the last 4 weeks. He started this series empty. Come on, like, he didn't need I was talking about the other day, I was like, isn't it funny you didn't need week one's message? Isn't it nice to walk in church and not need the message? I mean, it doesn't happen a lot. Don't get too excited. It doesn't happen a lot. I love the story. The preacher, the lady walked out and she goes, Pastor, man, that was good. She goes, that message really, really hurt me. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. I meant to kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you need a message that will just really light you up. He's pretty empty. Because when you're empty, overflow can happen. God can begin to fill and to overflow. Jesus goes, hey, here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity for overflow. Verse 17 says this, but we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they don't belong to us. We're going to have to coerce this little kid to give them to us. We're going to have to, like, trade them out. Like, can you imagine little Timmy walking home with this little Happy Meal? And Jesus is like, hey, I need your Happy Meal, Timmy. If I'm Timmy or Wesley, I'm like, you got to get your own food. Like, you're Jesus. Like, you shouldn't even be hungry. You know, like, I thought God could supply our needs. You know what I'm saying? I thought you were the bread of the life. I'd be throwing scripture at Jesus. But he's like, here's what I got. This is all I got. And I just want to encourage someone in the room today. If it's all you got, God can do a lot with all you got. A lot of people are going, I don't have anything. But Jesus is going, well, what do you have? You don't need to have what they have. And you don't need to have what she has. And you don't need their house. You don't need their cars. You don't need their business strategy. You need what you have. God gave you what you have. My dad's told me for 8 years, everything that we need is in the room. It's in the room. And I'm like, where did he get that from? Because this is the guy I know that he can somehow put words in scripture and wove them together. I'm like, what does he know? What does he know? You need Jesus. Like, what does he know? But the reality is that Jesus is going, everything we need is right, it's right here. They got to go home. We're in a remote village. We lack. And Jesus goes, what do we have? What do you have? This will work. Whatever you got, it's what encouraged from the room today. Whatever you got, it'll work. It'll work. Verse 18, Jesus says, then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up toward heaven and he blessed them. 5 plus 2 is 7. 7 is the number of completion in the Bible. I mean, God ain't making accidents. I mean, everything in the scripture is just like boom, 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 boom. He ain't playing around. He's like, I'm going to take it. You give it to me. and we're going to bless it, and we're going to break it, and we're going to break it, and we're going to bless it, and it's going to multiply. Overflow is going to, Jesus is going, this is a recipe for overflow. I like these odds. I don't know about you, these odds don't look that good to me. This week I was in an environment with Andrew, who was up here today, who's he and his wife were in a young adult gathering, told to be in the gathering, but they needed someone to run sound, and so I happened to be the guy. And so I'm in the room, and he said, I'm so thankful for God's timing. I don't know about you, but if we're honest and if we sit across the room and have coffee, most of us are going to go, I'm not cool with God's timing. I don't love it. His timing is, the way the kids are saying it, it's not a vibe. His timing is not a vibe. Like he needs it. It would be, if I were to sit with you and ask you the question today, would you like it if God would pick it up a little bit? In a certain area, you'd go, Pastor West, to be honest with you, that'd be great. That would be like, if he could, like, I have this thing like he put in my heart and it hasn't happened yet. Or I have this thing that I really want. I don't know if it should be in my heart or not, but I really, really want it. And I want it now. I'm right. It feels like it's there, but I'm not sure. If you're in the room and that's you, I'm with you. Well, man, this is not. And Jesus is going, hey, guys, this is going to be perfect. Like, this is going to work. So he goes, hey, guys, get it all together. Break the loaves into pieces. He gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to the people. Now, there's something there. He's like, give it to me. I'm going to break it up, and I'm going to give it to you. There's a word there. Everything you have comes from God. Just whatever you got, God can use it, and he can multiply it. And the Bible says that there could be overflow, or there could be leftovers. Let me prove it to you. Verse 20 says this. They all ate as much as they wanted. That sounds good. You know, the older you get, the less you eat all you want. Come on, you're just like, whoever you are, you're like, whoa, I just don't. You pat yourself wherever you know it's going to go. For me, I'm always like, a weird one to BurgerFi yesterday. One thing about BurgerFi, I'm hungry today, but one thing about BurgerFi, they do not chintz on the bacon at BurgerFi. If you get a BurgerFi burger, they're loading that thing with bacon. And that's why I like it. I like bacon, and I cannot lie. They load it up. I'm like, I'll have that. And when you go there, you want to get a large fry, and you want to get the garlic aioli and all. You want that. You want that. But they're like, fries for you, sir? I said, no. No, thank you. Because I'm going to Jeremiah's right afterwards. You know what I'm saying? Jeremiah's with my boys right afterwards, and I didn't get any. I didn't have no fries, and no Jeremiah's. But it's like, I'm gonna be full. Jesus is like, hey guys, we ready? And they're like, it's gonna be a lot. You're asking for a lot, God. And God, I got this, guys. Overflow can happen. The Bible says they verse 21, is that good with you? Yeah, 21 says this. I'm done. I'm out of time. Fed that day in addition to all the women and all the children. Pretty cool story, right? Let me just really quickly, if I can get the keys, two things really quick. Two things. Overflow can't happen if you don't believe it. If you don't believe it can happen, it can't happen. If I don't believe everything we need is in the room, guess what? It ain't in the room. I believe it can happen. I believe overflow is going to happen in the community. I prayed that prayer yesterday. I prayed it over a church. I've been praying it for 4 weeks. I've been praying. We've been dying. I've been talking about it. Our kids have been talking about it. One of my kids walked in today, and she goes, hey, Mom told so-and-so how much we give for the Hartford House. I mean, you give $70,000. I said, yes, that's how much we give. I'm like, they got the numbers wrong. But like, I'm like, yeah, that's whatever you think. I think it's more like 70. We give 70 million. I told whoever kid it was. But like, if you don't believe it can happen, it can't happen. If you don't want it to happen, it's not going to happen. But if you don't believe it can happen, then it can't happen. Something can't happen that you don't want to happen. If you're believing for something, if you're chasing for something, you believe that you can go after it. You go chase that thing that you can get. Now, Jesus says, hey, guys, if you don't think it can happen, you're right, it can't happen. But here's what I think. I think if you can get some fish and you can get some breads, I believe it can happen. And he goes, I don't need you to believe a lot. I just need you. There's a word for someone today. I just need you to believe a little bit. I don't need you, God doesn't need you to believe a lot. He just needs you to believe just 1 week at a time. Just 1%, just 2%, just 10%, just 11%, just 12%. He doesn't need you to go the whole way because he's going to meet you on the other side. I love that song. God said he started the church. He started, the church began, and the Bible says the Spirit lit the flame. Like they were in, and the Spirit was like, I'm going to light the flame on this thing. This thing is about to go down. Like, whew, and it was happening. And it was on. If you don't think overflow can happen in your life, then you're right. If you're counting all the things that just aren't going your way, well, that's not working out, that's not working out, well, then you can't imagine and you can't see it happening, so you're not doing the things that it takes to make it happen. I don't know where it's going to come from. You know what I know? I don't know either. But I know God, if there's a need, or on the other side of the need, another side of the obedience, and the side of the belief and the faith. They brought the fish to him. They brought their bread to him. They believed. They're like, you guys, and they're like, we believe. Go get it. At first, they didn't believe. And at first, you don't believe. And at first, I didn't believe. But the reality is that once you begin to believe, it can happen. It can happen. I can tell you all the reasons why today we shouldn't make it beyond what we shouldn't give more than we gave. We shouldn't give more this year than we gave last year. I can tell you a lot of reasons why. But I know this. But I believe it can. I believe we can. Because I believe in the God who can. And that's all I can do is trust him. Overflow can't happen if you don't believe it. Here's the second thing. This is really simple to say. Overflow can't happen if God doesn't bless it. If God doesn't bless it, then it's not going to happen. And then so you're it's kind of like you're kind of in good shape. If he doesn't bless it, it can't happen. I wonder how many of us are trying to get something to happen, but it's not happening because we're not allowing God to bless it or because he hasn't blessed it. Have you ever tried to get God to bless something that you know he's not going to bless? I have. God, I just don't know if this has got my name on it. I'm committed. I don't want anything that doesn't have my name on it. Because if I get something that doesn't have my name on it, that's a recipe for disaster. And I'm not trying to be in a disaster. I'm trying to be in a season where God is doing all that he can do, so I'm doing all that I can do. God, overflow can't happen if God doesn't bless it. God can't bless what you keep in your pocket. And overflow can't happen if you don't give him something to start with. Isn't that crazy? Like, we're in this with him. He's definitely in it with you. Are you in it with him? He's all in. He is all in. You can bet on God. God put in my spirit the other day, started giving me the, I'm gonna invite the band to come up too. Like the more people I invite up here, the faster I get off the stage. I started writing down the givers, the someone who gives, the ABCs of a giver. The ABCs of a giver. And I started just processing what it looks like to be a giver. And I couldn't tell if it was giving or giving. I couldn't figure out how to conjugate the word. And I was just like up and down, 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 up and down. But I just thought to myself, like, the givers, there is a level of there's an ABC of the giver. And I wanted to read them to you today. And I made these up. I can't, they're reflective of scripture for sure. But I wrote these down, and maybe some of them will stick out to you today. Maybe if you're like, oh, I really, really like that. I want to adopt those things. You won't ever be there unless you start here. I know for Diane and I, when we first started generosity, we'd always been tithers, but we weren't generous. Tithing is the floor. Generosity comes after. But when we got our feet into generosity, we didn't quite know exactly how it was going to look. We got married and we just started. Like, we had no money. Come on, we couldn't even pay our cell phone bills. Come on, like, that's how, we didn't have much. But we were tithers, but we weren't generous. And so some of these things came to me as I've learned, and I've tried to lean into this idea of generosity. Here they are. Here they are. Givers, letter A. They accept the responsibility of the house. Like, this is my house. This is my church. This is my house. Givers accept the responsibility of the house. Letter B. Givers, they build houses for Habitat for Humanity, and they build beds. I mean, that's built. Givers, they build stuff. Like, they're doing. I drove by the bed build the other day. I saw a bed build happening on 535. I was on the way to take my kids to school. And I'm like, yo, look at that looks like. Look at those guys. They're building beds with Sleep in Heavenly Peace. We do that. Dude, we're building homes and we're building houses. Where people don't have beds and we're building beds. Letter C, givers, they create community. Because it takes resources to build community. We're creating community. All this community, people are like, oh, the community of Hope Church, it takes resources. Givers, they create. They're creating community. When we're having groups, and whether you're in a group or not, but you give here, you're creating community. Letter D, givers discourage the enemy. Come on, somebody. The enemy right now is going to discourage you from giving, but givers, they discourage the enemy. I don't know about you. The devil, I'm tired of the devil discouraging us. Why don't we discourage the devil more? Why don't we, like, get under his skin? Why don't we bother him today? When you give today, the Bible, I believe this, it discourages the enemy. Givers, they experience, letter E, they experience overflow. Givers experience overflow. You can't experience overflow if you don't give anything God to work with. If you don't plant the seed, you're never going to see the harvest. And I'm believing with all my heart, the next 2 years, we're going to be in a home, and it's going to be because of the people in the room. Letter F, givers feed the hungry. They also fear the Lord. They feed the hungry. Givers, letter G, they go into all the world and they make disciples. Givers, they help the homeless. They help the homeless. Helping the homeless, by the way, is a mandate in Scripture. We're helping people that are homeless. Letter I, givers, they identify with Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus says, when you feed the hungry and you give water to the thirsty and you put clothes on the naked and you give medicine to the sick and you go to the prisons and we give to the prisons and she goes to the prison and Caroline goes to the prison. Maybe there's some of you guys that go to the prison. When you do that, you did it unto Jesus. When you did that, you did it unto Jesus. Givers join their provision with the church's vision. Come on, that one just feels good. Givers join. Letter J, they join the provision with the church's vision. Letter K, givers keep the vision going. This doesn't keep on going without givers. We're here because of givers. The chair you're in here, we bought these with Heart for the House offering like two years ago. Givers keep the vision going. Givers love all people at all times and all places. Givers, letter N, they mobilize missions. We're going on two missions trips this year. It takes resources to givers. They mobilize. Come on, do you want to be a mobilizer? I don't even know what that means, but it sounds good. Come on, I want to be a mobilizer. I want to be a mobilizer. And if you're not, by the way, if you're not mobilized, let me get a little techie on y'all. If you're not mobilizing, you're immobile in us. Don't do that, Pastor West. Come on, keep the energy up. Givers never, ever, ever go without. Givers never go without. I've never seen a giver go, dang it, what I gave away, now I don't have. Givers never go without. I'm out of time. Givers, letter O. I know y'all want X and you want Y, so I got to keep on going. Givers never go without. Givers only, letter O, givers only can give what God gives them. Givers possess the desire to change the world. Givers question, can God keep blessing me more? And the answer is always, come on. Givers resource the church to invest in the next generation. There's a lady in our church. She said, you want to know why I come to this church? I come to this church because you guys are betting on the next generation. At this church, we're going to always bet on the next generation. If we don't get to them, the world's going to get to them, and the world's going to get them. They're going to chew them up, and they're going to spit them out. We're going to rescue them. Givers possess the desire to. They givers question, can God keep blessing me? Givers resource. Givers serve God. They don't serve things. Givers translate the Bible into other language. We're translating Scripture here. Trust that God will supply. Letter T also. Givers also trust that God will supply all their needs. Letter U. Givers understand everything they have comes from God. And whatever they give, God has more where that came from. Isn't that so cool? That God's got whatever more, He's got more. Givers, letter V, they very rarely stop giving. Givers very rarely. I've never seen a giver go, you know what? I'm just tired of giving. I'm going to stop giving. They're usually like, oh, how can I give some more? How can I give some more? They're scraping change up. Letter V. Letter W. Givers wonder, how much more can I give? Dinah go, how much? Dinah, you know what we said this year? How much more can we give? And I was sweating when she started to give the numbers out. I'm like, stop. And I'm like, here's also, I figured out a hack with God. I'm like, don't give it yet. And she's like, why? I said, because God, he may change our mind. I hope it doesn't go up. It's going to hurt this year. It's going to hurt. Giving hurts, by the way. Tithing is easy for us. But when you give, like, I told you a few weeks ago on giving, there's like painful generosity. And we're in that painful generosity category. It's miserable. Givers wonder how much more can they give. Letter X. Givers x-ray their wants and their desires, and they make sure it's not what they need. They're like, yo, do I really need that? We had a guy in our church who's very, very successful. He goes, I want to buy this really, really expensive car. What do you think? I said, are you giving? I said, yeah. Are you generous? Yeah. I said, buy the car. Well, I'm really worried about the optics of them. I said, well, God knows your heart. If you want the car, buy the car. Givers x-ray their wants and desires. Letter Y, givers yearn for more of God. And letter Z, givers are zealous about giving. It actually energizes them. And they go, can we give more? Can we give more? Can we give more? So we're going to give. We're going to give. We're all going to give. We all have the capability to give. And if you've been praying for the last 4 weeks, then you know what you're going to give. But if you have been praying for 4 weeks, I have to give you your number. I'm just kidding. I've never asked you for a number. I've always just prayed and believed that God would do what only he can do. And so far, he's done that. Can I tell you where the greatest generosity will come from in this today? It'll come from that kid's wing. It will. Because I know what my kids are giving, and I know what some of the other kids have given in the past. And, you know, $100 to a kid is like $10,000 for you probably. But there'll be kids that will give $100. Last year, I think a kid gave a couple $100 last year. There's kids that are giving $40, $50. God, it's going to come from down there. It's going to come from a widow's mite. It's going to come from someone who's going to be like, this is going to be a little bit painful, and we may not be able to buy a few Starbucks, or we may not be able to go on that trip. This may be someone's trip money. I know that sounds stupid to somebody, but to someone who's a giver, they're like, that just makes sense. We go on plenty of trips where they're going to go, we do so much. We have so much. And if you're wondering or in question today, I want to let you know we all have much in this room. So I want to invite you to stand here.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.